All right. ¿Hablas inglés? Bueno, ¿por qué no hablo español? Hablo español solamente un poquito. Hablo muy mal y entiendo nada. All right, open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. I am really glad to be here. I love Brother Jeremy and appreciate his heart and all. He's always so kind. I got on the airplane yesterday and I thought, I think I forgot to pack my tan belt. And only brought one pair of shoes, and they were tan, and I didn't want to wear a black belt with tan shoes, so I thought, well, I'll see if I can get Amazon to deliver something to the church. And I just texted him and said, will they deliver it to your church address, or do I need the box number? And they were, and so he said, well, what size do you wear? So I told him, it was like a 103-inch belt, and I said, no. He said, I'll see if I got one of them all. I said, no, don't worry about it, get it from Amazon, and he bought me this belt. Now, it is on the last notch, all right, but it is a large size, so I want you to know that. Let me talk to you about social distancing, just so everybody knows. I washed my hands right before I came in the auditorium. I will sanitize them as soon as I leave. I am not fussy. If you want a handshake, I'll shake your hand. If you don't, I won't force it on you. So you put your hand out, I'll shake it. You don't, I won't bug you. If you want a hug, I'll hug you. If you guys want a kiss, see Pastor Jeremy. And he will help you with that, all right? I probably should tell you, it's been a couple of years since I've been here. Man, your building's fabulous. I'm really excited about that. But I have begun to associate rather strongly with the LFTB community. I hope that's okay. That's LFTB. That's less fat than before. So since I went on as pastor, I've lost about 30 pounds. I need to do that again. But I'm still fat, but I now identify as skinny. And I would appreciate it if you'd address me that way. My pronouns are thin and slim. And I guess that makes me trans fat. I'm not sure. Daniel chapter 3. I did not ask, preacher, what time am I supposed to be done? It's already too late to beat the Lutherans to lunch, I can tell you that. Well, as I get older, my motto is, if you can't be good, be short. And this is the third time I've preached this sermon this morning, but the first time to preach it without an interrupter. So I'll try to be reasonable. Do come back tonight. And I really believe God's got some good things in store for us. If I have time afterwards, I'll tell you about the things on the table, but we'll wait and see. Always give the message first and save the advertisement for later. Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. Nebuchadnezzar has built a great big image. It's 90 feet tall. He's gathered everybody who is anybody together, and he said, I've got all these instruments, and when they play, you bow down and worship the image I have prepared. He's pretty impressed with himself. He has come back from a successful conflict against Syria and against Israel, won both of them. His armies are victorious. His treasuries are full. His people are obsequious and obedient. And Nebuchadnezzar likes it like that. His favorite saying seems to be, if you don't obey me, I will cut you in pieces and make your house a dunghill. I hate it when that happens. I hate being cut in pieces. Now, once they cut you in pieces, probably doesn't matter what they do to your house. And the Bible says that when he had the first go-round, everybody bowed down except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. 10,000 Jews were in Babylon at this time. 9,997 bowed down. 3 didn't. Nebuchadnezzar hears about it. He says, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be the same hour cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is, read me the next two words, that God. Who is, say it again, that God. That shall deliver you out of my hands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, read me the next two words, our God. Nebuchadnezzar said, who is that God? The three Hebrew children said, our God. I want to talk to you about this today. That God is our God. Everybody say that with me, would you please? That God is our God. One more time. That God is our God. Father, help me as I preach to be empowered by your Spirit and to say that which would help your people, glorify your name, draw us to yourself, and strengthen us for the work you have for us to do. Thank you for this wonderful church and the many, many years of faithful testimony here. Thank you for this anniversary time. Bless the meetings. Bless today, tonight, Monday and Tuesday. And may it, when it's over, leave us closer to you, loving you more, understanding you better, more yielded to you. Bind the devil and his demons. Don't let them interfere. You said they always come and try to snatch away the seed of your word. Keep them from that, and we'll sure thank you in Jesus' name for all that you do. Amen. There's a demand here. It begins with an impressive extravaganza. Nebuchadnezzar gathers everybody who's anybody. He's got all the captains and the sheriffs and the counselors and the important people. He's got all kinds of musicians. And then he has an inclusive expectation. He said, when I play the music, everybody must bow down. Now, I don't think he expected much opposition. Most people in this time worshiped more than one God. They didn't mind that the Jews had their God. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar had seen that God was a revealer of secrets. He said that in chapter 2. He had a dream. He said to the wise men, I dreamed a dream. Tell me what it means. They said, well, tell us the dream. We'll tell you what it means. He said, I don't remember what the dream was. You tell me what I dreamed. Huh. That's a little tough. I called the psychic hotline the other night. They said, what's your name? I said, you tell me. I said, Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, if you're really so smart, tell me what I dreamed. And they said, we can't do that. Nobody can do that. And Nebuchadnezzar said, great, I'll kill you all. He said, I'll cut you in pieces and make your houses a dunghill. And Daniel, kind of a lower entry counselor to the king, very young, said, why is the decree so hasty from the king? He said, wait a minute, king, all the wise men can't tell you the dream. But he prayed, and his fellows, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prayed, and he said, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and here's what you dreamed, and here's what it means. And Nebuchadnezzar was impressed. Wow! He said, Daniel, your God is a revealer of secrets. But you still got to bow to my God. That's what the world says to us. You can have your little church services. You can have your Bible. You can believe what you believe, but you got to bow down to our gods. If we say that it's okay for men to marry men, you have to agree with that. If we say that it's all right to kill a baby while it's still in its mother's womb, you have to agree with that. And if you don't, Hillary Clinton said, when it comes to abortion, religious beliefs will have to change. You got to agree with me. I prayed at the inauguration, first State of the State address of our governor. It's a big falder all. The House of Representatives has a meeting, and they invite the Senate in, and the Senate invites the governor. So the Speaker of the House, a wonderful Christian, invited me to pray. I stayed there, and our governor gave her first State of the State address. I was as close as I am to the front pew to our Attorney General and her wife. And our governor said, we're going to have equal rights for the LGBT community. And then she said, no exceptions. You know what she meant by that? Well, the conservatives and Bible believers in the House and the Senate had said, look, if you want to amend the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Bill of Michigan to include the LGBTQ community, you've got to give an exemption so that churches are not forced to hire people that they believe it would violate their conscience to hire. And what our governor is saying, oh, no, we don't care what your churches believe. You can have your little Bible, you can have your meetings, but when it comes to our political agenda, you've got to bow down to our gods. There's a demand. And then there's a disobedience. 10,000 Jews, 3 stood. You ever feel like what we believe makes us kind of odd? I mean, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe it's all true. We believe God didn't make any mistakes in the revelation he gave us. We believe there's only one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus. By the way, there's only one way to heaven. God loves you. He wants to spend eternity with you. The thing that keeps us from going to heaven is our sin. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. If I pay for my sin myself, I got to die and spend eternity in hell. I can't pay for it by joining a church or being good or getting baptized. Wonderful to see so many people baptized at the 9:30 service and at the 11 o'clock service. Marvelous to see what God is doing, but that doesn't get any of them to heaven. No, if I got to pay for my sin myself, I have to die and go to hell forever, and so do you. But God loves us, and he doesn't want anybody to go to hell, and so he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived perfectly for 33 years on this earth. Oh God, oh man, went to the cross, bled, and died, rose from the grave, and the Bible says Christ died for us. Hey, your sin has already been paid for in the person of Jesus Christ. Question isn't what you're going to do about your sin. Question is what you're going to do about God's Son. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One way to heaven, his name is Jesus. They give us a hard time because of that. They give us a hard time because of what we believe, and you feel like you're in the minority. That's all right. Remember, there were 9,997 Jews who bowed down and three that stood up, and nobody remembers the 9,997. We don't know their names. We don't talk about them, but we remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because when everybody else bowed down, they stood up. They didn't wave their fists in protest. They didn't have banners denouncing Nebuchadnezzar and his image. They just stood for their God. You see the demand. You see the disobedience. And then you see the defiance. Not on the part of the three Hebrew children. They were respectful. They were polite. The king gets really defiant. The Bible tells us that he was in rage and fury. It now became personal to him. It was an issue between him and the God of these Jews. And he was very prideful. You must bow down and worship the image that I have set up. But he had a problem. It became problematic when he said, who is that God that shall be able to deliver you? He made it a contest between him and God. Now, when you say that God, that is not particularly respectful. I live in Michigan. I was born in South Carolina. I've lived most of my life in Michigan. I was sentenced there as a young man, and I never get any parole or probation, just occasional work release like this. Our governor and our president, the president of the United States and the governor of Michigan, had a dispute during the COVID crisis. And I remember a press conference where the president said, that woman in Michigan. He wasn't being complimentary. That woman in Michigan. I've heard people say, that man I'm married to. It's not usually an affectionate expression. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president for almost three terms, was elected three times, died before he finished his third term, and there were people who would never say his name. They'd just talk about that man in the White House. Who is that God? Well, there's a declaration from the three Hebrew children. It's a declaration of faith. I like where they say, we are not careful to answer thee. We don't have to go back and have a huddle. We don't have to back and have a big council. We don't have to have an all-night prayer meeting. We know what we got to say. So you know what? Most of the time, you know what's right. Most of the time, it's not hard to figure out the right thing to do. It's right, children, to obey your parents. It's right, husbands, to love your wives as Christ loved the church, as you love your own body. It's right, wives, to submit to your husband. It is right, parents, to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's right to be in church, even 6 o'clock. On a Sunday night, we have to have it interpreted. You know what they call people who speak two languages? Bilingual, very good. You know what they call somebody who speaks three languages? China. You know what they call somebody who speaks one language? A gringo. It's right. You know it's right to read your Bible. It's right to be separated from the world. It's right to stand for the Lord Jesus. Hey, we're not careful. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. I like that. Everybody say, our God is able. Would you say that with me? Our God is able. And he will. We're not afraid of your furnace. We're not going to burn up. Our God will deliver us. But then look what they said next. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us, O King. Read me the next three words from your Bible. Read them out loud. What's it say? But if not. He's able to deliver us on the hand of King, but if not. I get the impression they had a little bit of doubt in the midst of their faith. But if not. Do you ever doubt? You feel like when you doubt, you're not exercising faith? Don't feel that way. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is doing what God says and trusting him in spite of your doubt. So you hear the preacher preach about tithing. You see, the Bible says the tithe is the Lord's, and you know you want to obey the Lord, and you start tithing, and the first check you drop in, man, you're sweating bullets, and your hand is shaking, and you just can't imagine how you're going to survive without the money. But if you dropped it in the plate, you demonstrated faith, no matter how scared you were. You know you're supposed to go out and give the gospel to people, and so the time comes that soul winning is being promoted, and it's appropriate, and you go out, and man, you're so scared, you don't have to knock on the door. You hold your hand up. It knocks by itself. Sweat rolling down to your waistband, under your armpits. But if you went out, you demonstrated faith. See, we are human beings, and we're frail and imperfect, and doubt is in the midst of all of us. But the three Hebrew children said, he will deliver us, but whether he does or not, we won't bow down. Oh, man, I think we need some Hebrew children who say our God is able to deliver us, but if the enemy comes, but if the attacks increase, but if the problems get bigger, but if everything goes wrong, we still will not bow down. That God is our God. That God that's able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. You want to know who is that God? That God's our God. You see Nebuchadnezzar, you know a little bit about God. You know that he can reveal dreams and he can reveal secrets, but I want you to know you don't really know everything about him. Well, he can take care of your fiery furnace. It's no problem for him. I want to say to all the increasingly hostile media and all the so-called powerful politicians, the Pete Buttigieg's, who said that churches who do not allow homosexual marriage should be having their tax-exempt status revoked. I want to say to all those people who think they're large and in charge and who can tell us what we've got to do and how we have to believe and how we have to live, hey, I got news for you. You don't know our God. So they get thrown in the furnace, tied up. Nebuchadnezzar makes the furnace seven times hotter than it already was. Now, that's a little bit of overkill. It's already powerful enough to kill him. If you shoot me, I don't really care, and if you're going to shoot and kill me, I don't really care if you shoot me in the head once or seven times. The last six bullets probably will not affect me very much. Seven times he makes it so hot that the keepers of the furnace, those who throw these three Hebrew children in, die just because they got so close to the heat. What's God going to do? Well, the Bible tells us about a deliverance. Look and see what it says. Nebuchadnezzar. Look at verse 21. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. They got thrown in the furnace, and the first thing they got was freedom. Their bond sons were burnt, they're loose, and they're walking around. The hair on their head wasn't singed. Their clothing was not harmed. Just the ropes that held them were bound. Hey, I want you to know, many times the world tries to tie us up, and God uses it to free us up. The gospel has been more powerful and pervasive in China after the communists took power than before. 3 to 4 million Christians when Chiang Kai-shek was overthrown and the communists took control of the land of China. And now they say there are 80 to 90, maybe as many as 100 million believers in the land of China, more Christians by number, they think, in China than any other country. We know what happened. Persecution came, bondage came, imprisonment came, but it didn't stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, the gospel is loosed and free. Hey, you can't stop God by government. You can't stop the gospel by decree. You can't stop the work of God by your political pronouncements. Oh, no. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. They were freed from their bondage. They found favor. The Bible tells us they were promoted over all the rest of the Jews. But you know what else? Not a hair on their head was singed. Their clothing wasn't burned. Their bonds were removed. They got out and they were promoted. But let me tell you something else. The Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar said, we threw three men bound into the furnace, and the form of the fourth was like unto the Son of God. They had freedom. They had favor. But the best thing they had was fellowship. I want you to know, you may be in the furnace sometimes. Things may be tough sometimes. You may lose your job. You may lose your house, your marriage. May have trouble. Your children may rebel. You may get sick and the doctor may say there's nothing we can do. You may live through a pandemic and find that your life is restricted and your freedoms are limited. But I got news for you. No matter how hot the fire is, Jesus won't only sustain you. He'll be there with you. Yeah, three men thrown in, four men there, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Heard about a little couple. Bob Jones Sr. told the story. Years and years they wanted a child. And finally one day they learned she's going to have a baby. They fixed up the nursery and got everything ready. In those days the husband didn't go in for the birth. It was a difficult birth. When the baby was born, the mother suspected things just weren't right. And she held the little baby in her arms and she said, "Doctor, am I going to die?" The doctor said, "Yes, I'm afraid you are." "Oh," she said, "Doctor, we wanted this baby so long. We prayed for it so much. Doctor, I wouldn't mind dying if I could take the little baby with me." And the doctor rather callously said, "I'm sorry. The gate of death is so narrow that there's not even room for you to take the baby with you. You have to go through it all by yourself." Bob Jones Sr. said, "Oh, doctor, don't tell her that. It is true that she can't take the baby with her, but there is one who will go with her through the gate of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." There's somebody, if you're saved, who's always with you, and his name is Jesus. Who is that God that'll help you build a church during the pandemic? Who is that God that'll help you stay free when all of the political forces are against you? Who is that God that can help you build a Bible-believing, separated church in this secular society? Who is that God that can help you raise your children in the midst of all kind of ungodly influences and see them turn out for God? Who is that God that'll sustain you through all the economic problems that we have? That God is our God. Everybody say it with me. That God is our God. Oh, that God that got Peter and James out of jail and had them preaching at the same place the next day. That God is our God. That God that killed 185,000 Syrian soldiers and they woke up in the morning, 185,000 corpses. That God is our God. That God that took 300 untrained and unprepared and uneducated Hebrews and destroyed 135,000 Midianite soldiers. That that God is our God, that God that parted the waters of the Red Sea so that the Israelites walked across on dry ground and let the wind stop and the waters come together just in time to wipe out Pharaoh, his chariots, and all of his armies. That God is our God. Say it with me. That God is our God. Say it again. That God is our God. I'm glad we have our God. John G. Patton went to the New Hebrides Islands in 1858. He was ready to leave Scotland, and an older man named Dixon said, "Don't go there. All those people are cannibals. They'll eat you." Patton said, "Well, Mr. Dixon, you're pretty old. Pretty soon your body's going to be eaten by worms." It really doesn't matter to me whether my body's eaten by cannibals or worms. I'll have an equally wonderful resurrection, glorified body in the resurrection. He went. It was hard. Very, very resistant people. While he was there, his wife had a baby. Little boy. 17 days later, his wife died. 19 days after that, the little boy died. John G. Patton had to sleep on their graves to keep the cannibals from digging up their bodies and eating them. One night, a vicious chieftain with several of his warriors surrounded the hut where John G. Patton was sleeping. Patton prayed all night and was greatly surprised they didn't come and attack him. Thought it would be his last night on earth. Well, after that, the chief got saved. About a year later, he said, "Chief, you remember that night you came with your warriors, you surrounded my hut. Why didn't you attack me?" And Patton was surprised, though maybe he shouldn't have been, by the answer. The chief said, "Well, I couldn't. There were 100 soldiers with sharp swords standing all around your hut. Yeah, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that delivereth him, that fear him and delivereth them." John G. Patton lived to see the entire island of Aniwa turn to Jesus Christ, the New Hebrides Islands as a whole become Christians. It is said that when John G. Patton went there, they were all cannibals and not a single Christian. And when he left, when his ministry ended, they were all Christians and not a single cannibal. Charles Darwin, in his voyage on the Beagle, where he wrote the book, The Evolution of Species, came to the New Hebrides Islands. And he wrote this. He said, "I do not believe in God. But if I did, it would be because of what I have seen at the New Hebrides Islands of the life and the work of John G. Patton, an atheist, found something so amazing that he said, it probably is the best evidence I've seen for the existence of God." And I'd like to remind you, say it with me, that God is our God. Who is that God? The sovereign scoffed in anger, scorn, and rage that can remove you from the fire, your pain and hurt assuage? Who is that God that can deliver three unbowing men, release their bonds, protect from burning, set them free again? Your God reveals my dreams and makes you strong and wise, it's true, but I'm the king, and there are things I know your God can't do. My furnace burns at 7 times its necessary heat. No God can save you from its flame or my decree defeat. Who is that God, you ask, O king, a sneer upon your face, your anger poured on all who your command do not embrace? Who is that God, you ask, your face contorted by your rage? Why, I'm the greatest man on earth, the ruler of my age. I've conquered kingdoms, built great cities, ruled my world, and now you all must worship as I bid you, to my image bow. What God exceeds my might and power? Name him if you will. When it's over, you'll be dead, and I'll be sovereign still. The answer from God's children came without a second thought. No agonizing worries of the flame so fierce and hot, no pleading, no negotiating, no remorse or tear. The answer to your question is our God. We love and fear. Our God is able, powerful, and sovereign over all. He'll help us. He'll deliver us as on his name we call. Your furnace so consuming and your image oh so high are nothing to the King of Kings who hears our every cry. That God is our God. And you'll see just what our God can do. He'll help us. He'll deliver us. He'll always see us through. That God is our God, and he is the only God, you see. He promises his children perfect peace and victory. So in the fire, 3 Hebrew children clothed and bound were thrown. The power of the potentate would soon to all be known. The king, in smug self-confidence, would sit and watch them burn. And all the earth to him would then in fear and reverence turn. The flame so hot the keepers died while casting in the three, yet not a hair was singed. They were as safe as they could be. Their clothing unaffected, no alarm and no despond. The only thing that burned on those three children was their bond. But wait. The king's advisors have a startling report. They strain to see with whom those unbound men do now consort. There are four men, the king declares, who in the furnace trod, and that fourth man, he looks exactly like the Son of God. Their bodies were protected, neither thread nor hair was singed. They never ran, they showed no fear, they never even twinged. But better than deliverance from fury, heat, and flame, the fact that God, who rescued them within their presence, came. So when the critics mock our faith and freedoms try to take, remember, they're repeating that vain potentate's mistake. Another petty tyrant with another brash decree, another prideful ruler saying we must bend the knee, another unbeliever thinking they are in control, another who would bind our bodies and command our soul, another one who dares to challenge our great deity, another who demands that subject to them we must be. It's just another chance for God's protection to be shown, another opportunity to make his power known, another illustration of deliverance and love bestowed upon his children by our gracious God above. That God is our God. He created and controls the world and laughs when petty challenges by men at him are hurled. He sits up in the heavens doing all he does desire and comes to help his children and walk with us through the fire. So let the heathen thunder, let them threaten to destroy, and let them every power in this world try to employ. But hold this truth fast in your heart as you walk on earth's sod. That God who can deliver us has always been our God. Would you say it one more time? That God is our God. Father, guide me as I extend the invitation. Draw us to yourself. Open our hearts. If there's a person here, and there may be several, who don't know for sure they have a home in heaven, would this be the day they trust Jesus and find that all their sins are forgiven, that they never have to answer for any of the bad things they've ever done? Our heads are bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. I wonder if you're here this morning. You say, brother, well, I'm God's child. Heaven is my home. That God is my God. But the Spirit of God has dealt with me. I need to be reminded of the fact that he's in control, not all the problems I see in the world and not all the things that could upset me. And I need to trust him. And even though I may doubt some, I still need to say, we're not gonna bend the knee even if you throw us in the furnace and we're not delivered. God's dealt with me. I'm God's child. I need to trust him more. He's spoken to my heart about that. You say that. Would you hold your hand up high? Like to conclude you in a prayer. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Who else? Brother, will that pray for me? I'm God's child. I need to do business with him this morning. He's speaking to me. Thank you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you. Can I ask another question? I wonder if you're here this morning, you say, if I died right now, I don't know whether or not I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know that for sure, but I don't. Now, wait a minute. I didn't call any attention to anybody who raised their hand a moment ago. There were a number of them. I won't call any more attention to you now than I did to them then. But I'd like to include you in the prayer. I wonder who'd say, I don't know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven, but I wish I knew that. When you pray for the other folks, pray for me too. You who say that, slip your hand up high. Let me pray for you. Would you do that? Just hold it up. I'll see it where you sit. Let me ask the question this way. I wonder who would be willing to say, I do know I'm going to heaven. I'm not saying I'm worthy, but I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I know heaven's my home because I have believed on the Lord Jesus. As testimony to that fact, would you hold your hand up high right where you sit? Say, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I believed in him. God bless you. I couldn't see for sure, but maybe there are a few who couldn't raise their hand. If that's the case, I want you to know I appreciate you being honest. And I want to ask you to be honest one more time. You wouldn't be honest to raise your hand and say something is true that isn't true. And you didn't do that. But it wouldn't be honest to not acknowledge something to be true that is true. If you're not sure of heaven, I'll tell you what I know is true. I know it's true that God loves you and he wants you to go to heaven. I know it's true that the Holy Spirit is speaking. That uneasiness you feel inside now is the Spirit of God saying, you need to settle that. You need to take care of that. And I would like to ask you to be honest one more time. You were honest and didn't raise your hand to say something's true when it isn't. But it wouldn't be honest to not admit something to be true that is true. I don't wonder who would say, you know, I couldn't raise the hand and say I am sure of heaven. But I'll raise it now and say I'd like to be sure of heaven. When you pray for the other folks, pray for me. If you say that, slip your hand up high. Man, woman, boy, girl, just hold it up for a little bit. Thank you. I see your hand. God bless you, young friend. Thank you. Who else? I don't know I'm going to heaven. When you pray for the other people, pray for me too. Hold the hand up high and I'll see it. Thank you. God bless you. I see that hand. And thank you. God bless you. I see that hand. That's wonderful. Who else? Yes, thank you. God bless you. Who else? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I want to be sure. Pray for me when you pray for the other folks. Hold the hand up high. I'll see it. You can put it down. Thank you. God bless you. I've seen that one. Lord, thank you for these hands. Thank you for these people who need to know the Lord Jesus. Save them today. Help them to know that you love them, that you want.